The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. My name is DJ Jesse, and as a travel enthusiast, I'm beyond excited to bring you this 10-episode long series. In this series, I'll be talking about travel tips, some of my favorite places, and why exactly you should travel. This is The Enlightened Tourist, and I'm glad to have you here. Welcome to the 5th episode of The Enlightened Tourist. I'm your host, DJ Jesse, and in this week's episode, we will be talking about Rome, Italy, and my recommendations on hotels, food, and attractions. And then towards the end of the episode, I will talk about what I think you should know before you book your trip to Rome. I went to Rome in the summer of 2019. Towards the end of July, my family and I went on a 10-day cruise on board the Norwegian Epic. It started in Barcelona and made stops in various cities in Italy, Spain, and France. And Rome was one of the stops we got to stop at and explore for 2 days. Besides being amazed at the unique architecture of many of Rome's architectural masterpieces, like the Colosseum, I also noticed how Rome had a very efficient public transportation system. I believe I paid about £1.50, or approximately $2 for a ticket, and the ticket was valid for about 2 hours. I appreciated how the famous attractions and restaurants were reachable mostly by public transportation or even by foot, and how we didn't have to deal with the hassle of getting a rental car and having to drive in a foreign country. Rome is the capital of Italy and has been since 1870. It is located in the center of the Italian peninsula, and it's now the largest city in Italy, with a population of almost 3 million people. Hotels in Rome aren't very known for being friendly to your wallet, and a lot of them can get very pricey. So the three hotels that I recommend are budget-friendly while also offering great amenities at the same time. The three hotels are 3- and 4-star hotels and offer more affordable rates, typically charging less than $100 a night for a party of two. However, when looking at rates of hotels wherever you plan on traveling to, always keep in mind that rates can vary day to day and week to week. They are all located in excellent areas for tourists, as they're close to public transportation stations and aren't too far from the main attractions itself. The first hotel I recommend is the Napoleon Hotel Roma. It is located in the Esquilino neighborhood of Rome, and it has a 4.5-star rating on Google, which Google defines as quote-unquote excellent. It is a 4-star hotel that is located 1.3 kilometers, or approximately 0.8 miles from the Roman Colosseum, 2.6 kilometers, or approximately 1.6 miles from the Roman Pantheon, and 4.7 kilometers, or 2.92 miles from the St. Peter's Basilica. I will be talking more about these famous attractions, along with other attractions, later on in this episode. The check-in time at the Napoleon Hotel Roma is 2 p.m. local time, and the checkout time is 11 a.m. local time. As far as what amenities you can expect if you choose to stay at the Napoleon Hotel Roma, you can expect a family-friendly atmosphere, free Wi-Fi, a fitness center, fully air-conditioned rooms, which is especially important if you choose to come to Rome during the summers when the weather can get fairly hot, a free airport shuttle, an on-site laundry facility, 24-hour front desk service, room service, a breakfast buffet, an in-house Italian restaurant, as well as a bar serving light snacks and yummy drinks. Some potential disadvantages to keep in mind with the Napoleon Hotel Roma is that it's a smoke-free hotel, so you won't be able to smoke indoors whatsoever. Pets also aren't allowed in this hotel, so you will have to leave your furry friends behind. The second hotel recommendation that I have for you is the Hotel Navona. It is a 3-star hotel located in the Sant'Eustachio neighborhood of Rome. It also has a 4.4 star rating on Google, which Google defines as very good. The check-in time at the Hotel Navona is 2 p.m. local time, and the checkout time is 10:30 a.m. local time. As far as what amenities you can expect if you choose to stay at Hotel Navona, you can expect a family-friendly atmosphere, free Wi-Fi, an in-house restaurant, a breakfast service, free shuttling to neighborhood attractions, an airport shuttle for an additional charge, and fully air-conditioned rooms. Some potential disadvantages to keep in mind with the Hotel Navona is that it's a smoke-free hotel, so you won't be able to smoke indoors, pets aren't allowed, and this hotel is not a wheelchair-accessible hotel. The third recommendation I have is the Britannia Hotel. It is a 4-star hotel located in the Castro Pretorio neighborhood of Rome. It has a 4.4 star rating on Google, which Google defines as very good. The check-in time for the Britannia Hotel is 2 p.m. local time, and the checkout time is 11 a.m. local time. It is located 2 kilometers or approximately 1.2 miles from the Roman Colosseum, and it's a 9-minute walk from the Termini railway station and a 2-minute walk from the Teatro d'Opera di Roma Opera House. As far as what amenities you can expect if you choose to stay at the Britannia Hotel, you can expect to be living in a family-friendly atmosphere, have access to free Wi-Fi, an in-house restaurant, a breakfast buffet, a bar, room service, fully air-conditioned rooms, an on-site laundry facility, 24-hour front desk service, and an airport shuttle available with extra charge. They also have daily housekeeping, which is something that makes it stand out from the other two hotels I recommend, which were the Hotel Navona and the Napoleon Hotel Roma. Keep in mind that this hotel is also a smoke-free hotel, doesn't allow any pets, and it is not a wheelchair-accessible hotel. If you compare the three hotels that I recommended, the Hotel Navona offers the cheapest rate right now, followed by the Napoleon Hotel Roma, with the Britannia Hotel currently having the most expensive rate out of the three. Keep in mind that this can always change depending on the time of year and the demand for each of the hotels. If you find that these three hotels are out of your price point, another option you have for lodging would be hostels. Hostels are a fairly popular option for travelers in Europe, especially those that are traveling alone or in small groups without children. I went more into detail on hostels in my second episode, where I talked about how you can save money while traveling. But essentially, hostels are a low-budget accommodation where guests typically pay for a bed instead of a whole room like they would with a typical hotel. Something to keep in mind before you book a hostel is that there are some hostels out there that have a minimum age requirement and some that also have a maximum age requirement. Now that you have an idea of some of the many lodging options that you can choose from if you come to Rome, let's talk about some attraction recommendations. These recommendations are based off of my own personal experience as well as from information I've gathered from Planetware. The first place I recommend for people traveling to Rome is to see the Roman Colosseum. It is one of the most famous icons of the country of Italy. It is 4 stories tall, and its construction was completed in 80 AD. And back then, it was used to host games such as gladiator battles, theatrical performances, circuses, and festivals. Nowadays, it serves as a tourist attraction, but it has been used as a source of inspiration for the construction of many of the modern football stadiums that we see today. I remember exploring the Colosseum when I was in Rome, and I was just in awe of its unique design. I remember being unable to fathom how everyone who contributed to the construction of the Colosseum was able to create something that would thousands of years later remain an icon and be considered one of the 7 wonders of the world, because I know that I couldn't do that. Especially if you consider the fact that they didn't have access to the significant amount of technology that we have access to today. The second tourist destination that I recommend is Vatican City. It is the smallest state in the world, and it's over 1,000 times smaller than the smallest state in the US, which is Rhode Island. I remember the tour guide of the tour that my family and I went on when we were in Vatican City say that you can go from one end of Vatican City to the other end of Vatican City in only about 20 minutes. Fun fact, According to the World Population Review, Vatican City currently has a population of about 799 people. Inside of Vatican City, there is the Vatican Palace and the Vatican Gardens, the St. Peter's Basilica and St. Peter's Square, which is ruled by the Pope, who is the head of the Roman Catholic Church. When you are exploring the wonders of Vatican City, I recommend stopping by the Sistine Chapel, which is located in the Vatican Museums. The ceilings of the Sistine Chapel features many of Michelangelo's most famous frescoes, which are a type of wall painting where water-soluble paints are applied directly to the wet plaster that is first placed on the wall. The third tourist destination that I recommend to visit in Rome is the Pantheon. It is the oldest building in the world that's still in use today. According to History.com, the Pantheon was built around 125 AD and was originally designed as a temple for the Roman gods. Today, it serves as a tourist attraction and also continues to be used as a Roman Catholic church. According to ItalyGuides.it, the Roman Pantheon is the monument with the greatest number of records. It holds the record for being the best preserved, having the largest brick dome in the history of architecture, and it is considered to be the inspiration for many of the modern places of worship that we see today all around us. As far as restaurant recommendations, a restaurant that I believe everyone going to Rome needs to try is the Felice a Testaccio. When I went there, I tried their spaghetti carbonara. It was absolutely delicious, and I highly recommend it for pasta lovers like me. I tried to save some of it so that I could have it later the next day, but it was just so delicious that I couldn't help but finish it all in one sitting. It features spaghetti noodles with a sauce made from egg yolks, black pepper, pecorino, which is a type of hard Italian cheese, and guanciale, which is a type of cured pork. Besides physical restaurants, there are also an abundant amount of gelato stands all over Rome, as well as in other Italian cities. I remember trying authentic Italian gelato for the very first time, and it was one of the most delicious things that I've ever tasted in my entire life. It reminded me of ice cream, but the softer and smoother texture of Italian gelato is superior to the texture of your traditional ice cream, in my opinion. Since then, I've tried finding authentic gelaterias in my hometown, but I haven't had any luck with that. In addition to the many gelato stands, there are also lots of small, quaint dessert shops that serve popular Italian desserts, such as tiramisu, panna cottas, which is an Italian dessert that is made out of sweetened cream that is thickened with gelatin, and cannolis, which are tube-shaped fried pastries filled with a sweet, creamy filling that contains ricotta cheese. In these dessert shops, you can also find other desserts that are commonly available here in the U.S., such as cupcakes, cakes, muffins, and pies. Lastly, I will be talking about what I think you should know before you visit Rome, according to the ordinary traveler. As far as when you should come to Rome, it is highly recommended that you come during the months of April, May, September, or October. My family and I were in Rome in the summer in July, and I vividly remember it being super hot. I am someone who tends to be irritated easily and prone to developing very painful headaches when I'm in hot weather for too long, so that was really the only complaint that I have from my time in Rome. All restaurants in Rome automatically charge a table service fee, which is usually 10% of the cost of your meal. This is similar to how we pay tip here in the US after we dine in a restaurant. Something that my family and I weren't aware of before we went to Rome is that most restaurants charge an additional price for bread. We were just surprised when we saw the bill and noticed that we were charged for our basket of bread, because this isn't something that typically happens a lot here in the US. Rome is a popular travel destination, so it's important that you watch out for pickpockets. Pickpockets are usually fairly good at being able to distinguish a foreigner from a local, and they tend to target unsuspecting foreigners. You should be extra vigilant with your valuable belongings in crowded areas as well as on public transportation. Only bring a small amount of cash and try to leave valuables such as your passport and credit or debit cards locked in the safe that many hotels provide. The Ordinary Traveler also recommends that you make photocopies of your important documents in case you happen to get these stolen from you. Rome has a fairly good public transportation system, just like many European cities, so this is something to take advantage of. From my experience with the public transportation in Rome, the system was fairly efficient, and the buses came at regular and frequent intervals, so I didn't have to wait in any super long lines. The Ordinary Traveler advises against tourists actually driving in Rome, unless it's an absolute necessity, because there tends to be heavy and fast traffic, where cars tend to do as they please, as there aren't very many street signs or traffic lights to guide all the cars. Just to recap, in this episode, I talked briefly about my experience in Rome, the recommendations I have on hotels, food, and attractions, and lastly, I talked about what I think you should know before you come to Rome. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. Make sure to tune into next week's episode, where we will be talking about Oahu, Hawaii. That's all I have for you. Until next time, bye!